We're going to look at a living sacrifice tonight. By way of introduction, let me say this. God did not save you that you might live for yourself and do what you want to do. The Bible is clear on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. They which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. I only know of one person who died for you and rose again, and that's Jesus Christ. Don't you see, that is one of the clearest passages in all the Word of God, that God did not save you, that you might live for yourself and do what you want to do. Romans 6, 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You ought not be serving the old sin nature, the old flesh nature that you have, that you were born with. You ought to be serving the Master. You ought to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. John 13:13, Jesus said, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am." Your body is not your own to do with as you please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 through 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So God did not save you that you might live for yourself and do what you want to do. Why then did God save you? God saved you so that you might live for Christ, so that you might do the will of God, so that you might glorify God. But you say, now preacher, how can I do that? How can I, a child of God, live for the Lord? How can I be what God wants me to be? Well, the answer is found in our text this evening. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, tells you how to live such a life for the Son of God. Notice, first of all, the request made here is given to Christians. The Apostle Paul said in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, brethren, the only way you are going to accomplish what is required of you in these two verses is by means of the mercies of God. You are not going to live for Christ. You are not going to do the will of God. You are not going to glorify God. You are not going to accomplish anything at all, for God, apart from God's mercy. It is only going to happen as God has mercy on you. That's what Paul said. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That little phrase, by the mercies of God, simply means by means of the mercies of God. Now you ought to present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. And the only way you're going to accomplish all of that is by means of the mercies of God. You ought to praise God for His mercy, because you're not going to accomplish anything apart from it. Well, we'll notice three things. Number one, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Number two, be not conformed to this world. And then number three, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Please notice number one, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now that's what Paul said in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. The Greek word present here is the very same word Paul used in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, where it is translated yield. For he said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Now, folks, it is the very same Greek word. So what was Paul saying? Paul was simply saying this. You are to present your bodies a living sacrifice to Christ. That is, you are to yield your bodies a living sacrifice to Christ. Not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul writes, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." Now in that sense, you are a dead sacrifice. You are to be dead indeed unto sin. You are to be dead indeed unto living for yourself. But that verse goes on to say, but alive. That's the living part. That's the living sacrifice. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Well, you can clearly see from this passage of Scripture that God's promise to you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is that sin shall not have dominion over you. That simply means this: you no longer have to stay in sin. You no longer have to stay under the bondage of any sin. If you do, child of God, you choose to do it. You choose to do so because you have been set free. Don't you see? You have been set free from the dominion, from the controlling power, from the rule and reign of your old sin nature once and for all. Not its presence, but its power to rule and reign in your life. You have a new nature. You have the very presence of the Holy Spirit of God living in you today as a child of God. Therefore, you have the power to turn off the old sin nature that you have. In Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, "I am crucified with Christ." A dead sacrifice. Dead indeed unto sin. Dead indeed unto living for yourself. But that verse goes on to say, "Nevertheless I live." That's the living sacrifice. "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." How can you live for Christ? How can you do the will of God? How can you glorify God? How can you be what God wants you to be? You can be what God wants you to be as you yield your bodies a living sacrifice to God. Not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice. Dead indeed unto sin, and dead indeed unto living for yourself. Paul, what do you mean by a living sacrifice? Holy. The word holy here means that which is dedicated, that which is set apart. What was Paul saying? Paul is simply saying this: a living sacrifice is to be dedicated to God. A living sacrifice is to be set apart to God. When you yield your bodies a living sacrifice to Christ, you are dedicating yourselves to God. You're simply setting yourselves apart to God. This is a simple reminder that everything that you possess belongs to God. Every ability that you have, every spiritual gift that you possess, every talent that you have, it all belongs to God. Your life, your dreams, your plans, your ambitions, your goals, your life, your money, your body, your home, it all belongs to God. Now, for example, you need to give your mouth to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Brethren, if you're going to present your bodies a living sacrifice dedicated to God, it's going to be more than just going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's going to be more than reading the Word of God every day, feeding the new nature that you have. It's going to be more than praying throughout the day. It's going to be more than being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are going to present your body a living sacrifice dedicated to God, it's going to be more than putting your tithes and offerings in the offering plate. You must yield your bodies a living sacrifice totally to God. Totally given over to God in every single way. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to say, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word acceptable here speaks of something that is well pleasing to God, because God is the one you must please. What was Paul saying? Paul was simply saying this: brethren, you have not been saved to please yourself. You have not been saved to do what you want to do in this life. you have been saved to yield your bodies a living sacrifice, totally dedicated to God in every single way so that God is well pleased. Totally given over to God, seeking only to please God, because that is your reasonable service. Listen, folks, you're not going to serve God to the extent God wants to use you today in His service if your bodies are not totally dedicated to God, if your bodies are not totally given over to God in every single way. So with any man, do you have anything in your life that is not totally dedicated to God? Do you have any plans in your life today that the Spirit of God does not have complete control, rule, and reign over? Do you have any areas in your life this evening where you say, now, Lord, you can have everything but this? If that is true of you, my dear Christian friends, I beseech you, and that simply means I beg you or I urge you to give everything to God, because God knows how to get what you are trying to keep from Him. We have noticed number one, present your bodies a living sacrifice. But notice number two, be not conformed to this world. Evidently, there were some Christians in Rome who were fashioning themselves just like the world. They were copying the world's standards. They were wearing the world's clothes. They were playing the world's music. When you see children of God that way in the 21st century, it is hard to tell whether or not they are truly born again. The words, be not in our text, be not conformed to this world, literally means stop doing it. So what was Paul saying? Paul was simply saying this. Stop being like the world. Stop acting like the world. You can't possibly please God by acting like the world. You can't possibly honor God by acting like the world. You can't even glorify God by acting like the world. That is, you can't even truly worship God Almighty by being and acting like the world. So stop doing it. Now, with that in mind, do you allow the world to dictate your values in this life? Do you allow the world to dictate your priorities in this life? Do you allow the world to dictate your standard in your dress, in your music, in your speech, and your entertainment? Ought not be doing that. It is absolutely impossible for you to love the things of this world and love Jesus Christ at the same time. Absolutely impossible for you to copy the things of this world and be what God wants you to be. Listen to the Word of God. 1 John 2:15, John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, what was Paul saying? Paul was simply saying this. Stop acting like the world. I beseech you, brethren. I beg you. I urge you. To yield your bodies a living sacrifice, totally dedicated to God in every single way so that God is well pleased. And stop acting like the world. Stop being like the world. You're frustrating yourselves. You are grieving the Holy Spirit of God living in you, and you'll never be happy. The bottom line is this, folks. Since you are born again, since you have been cleansed by the shed blood of Christ, since you have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, and since you are a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why don't you act like it? Why don't you act like the new creature that you are? Why don't you act like the child of God that you are? And stop acting like the world. Stop being like the world. You're frustrating yourself. You are grieving the Holy Spirit of God living in you, and you'll never be happy. You say, now, preacher, how can I do all that? That's number three. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed here means to be changed. The only way you are going to be what God wants you to be is to be changed by the renewing of your mind every day, by learning to think right. If you can learn to think right, if you can learn to think like God, if you can learn to think like God thinks, if you can learn to think God's thoughts, you will be transformed to what you ought to be for God. That is, you will be changed to what you ought to be for the Lord. But you say, preacher, how can I do that? How can I learn to think right? How can I learn to think like God? How can I learn to think like God thinks? How can I learn to think God's thoughts? It is this point that the Bible makes its strongest bit for your attention. How important is the Word of God in your life today? Now, the Bible is the record of God's thoughts. If you want to know how God thinks, read the Bible. If you want to know how God feels, read the Bible. If you want to know what God hates, read the Bible. If you want to know what God loves, you have got to spend quality time in His love letter to you, the Word of God. If you want to know what God expects out of you today in fulfilling your Christian responsibilities, don't you see, folks, you have got to spend quality time in the Word of God every single day, feeding the nature that you have. If you will let the Word of God rule and dominate your mind, you will learn to think right. You will learn to think like God. You'll learn to think like God thinks. You'll learn to think God's thoughts. If you think right, if you think like God, if you think like God thinks, if you think God's thoughts, you'll be changed to what you ought to be for the Son of God. That is, you'll be transformed. The battleground is in the mind. The world will do everything it can to influence your thinking. The flesh will do everything it can to possess your thinking. And the devil, your adversary, will do everything he can to mess up your thinking. Now, if any one of those three succeed, they will mess you up. I'm telling you, folks, they'll mess you up in your spiritual growth, in your daily walk with Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what must I do? You need to give your mind to God. That is, you need to yield your mind to the Lord. Well, what do you think on as a child of God? Does the Bible have anything to say about it? Yes, it does. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That is, your mind ought to be governed and guided by these kinds of things. What's the end result of doing all these things? If you yield your body a living sacrifice, totally dedicated to God in every single way, so that God is well pleased. If you refuse to be conformed to this world, you are not going to allow the world to dictate your values. You are not going to allow the world to dictate your priorities. You are not going to allow the world to dictate your standard in your dress, in your music, in your speech, in your music, and your entertainment. If you learn to think right, you learn to think like God. You learn to think like God thinks. You learn to think God's thoughts. What is the end result of doing all these things? The Apostle Paul goes on to say that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What was Paul saying? Paul was simply saying this. By doing all these things, you can prove the will of God. You can test it out and prove it to be good. You can prove to yourself and to others that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't you want to live for Christ? Don't you want to do the will of God? Don't you want to glorify God? Don't you want to be all you can be for Jesus Christ? Then, like the Apostle Paul some 2,000 years ago to his listeners, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can you accomplish in this life what God wants you to be? Listen, you can accomplish in this life what God wants you to be as you yield your bodies a living sacrifice, totally dedicated to God in every single way so that God is well pleased with you. Stop acting like the world. Stop being like the world. You're frustrating yourselves. You're grieving the Holy Spirit of God living in you. And you'll never be happy. 5-year-old girl, 8-year-old girl, jumping up and down on the bed. They're waiting for the garage door to open. They know when that garage door opens that Daddy will soon be in the front door. They are jumping up and down on their bed. They're having a good time. They both hear the garage door open. 8-year-old girl wanted to be first. She shoved her 5-year-old sister off the far side of the bed. 8-year-old girl runs over to the bedroom door, opens the door. I mean, she runs down the stairs. Dad walks in the front door. She slides across the hardwood floor, grabs a hold of Daddy's leg as he walks in. 5-year-old girl is going to pick herself up off the floor. She begins to make her way over to the bedroom door, opens the door, walks down the stairs. She is going to now make her way toward Daddy. 8-year-old girl, on Daddy's foot now, looks back at her five-year-old sister and says very brashly, "See, I have all there is of Daddy." Now, the five-year-old girl makes her way over to Daddy. Daddy bends over and picks her up. They embrace each other. Five-year-old girl in Daddy's arms is now going to respond to her eight-year-old sister on Daddy's foot who said, "See, I have all there is of Daddy." She said, "Well, sis, you might have all there is of Daddy, but just look up here. Daddy has all there is of me." Brethren, God Almighty has all there is of Norman Stevens. Does God Almighty have all there is of you tonight? Listen to me. A vast majority of God's people today are living a life like that little eight-year-old girl on Daddy's foot. They possess eternal life. They have been cleansed by the shed blood of Christ. They have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And they are a new creature. But they're not acting like it. They're caught up in the world. They're caught up in the flesh. And they're allowing the devil to have his way with them. And they are living a withered, dry, useless life for the Son of God. And when they stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, they are going to weep bucket of tears because they have so abused and misused their life for Christ. It need not be that way. Have you presented your body a living sacrifice, totally dedicated to God, in every single way, so that God is well pleased with you? Oh, my dear Christian friend, if you've not done that, won't you do that tonight?